This is not a drill. Season 2 is actually happening. This is me. After a what feels like a very long hiatus, we are back with a vengeance, and I have missed you all so, so, so much. I have been just, you know, trying to gather up the resources for this next wave, this next era of Thoughtful Threads. And I have so many exciting things that I can't wait to throw out in the universe and share with you guys. And that will all come with time. But on today, we are here to do what we do best, which is to have conversation around fashion, design, style, aesthetics, so on and so forth, that is smart, that is relevant, that is thought-provoking, and everything in between. I have missed you greatly, and let's get into it without further ado. So this conversation, surprise, surprise, is inspired by TikTok, per usual. All the good stuff happens over there. Again, can't say it enough. If you're not on TikTok, you need to get on TikTok because we have so many interesting, thought-provoking, and fun conversations going on over there, and I'd love for you to be a part of it. And this conversation is a long-form version of what we've already touched on over there before. I've made more than one video. I would say at least two or three videos at this point on TikTok, short-form content around this topic, but I wanted to do a deep dive as we get back into the swing of things over here. And also because I noticed that anytime I touch on this subject matter, there is so much engagement from people. Like, folks are really, really interested in unpacking this conversation. So we're going to do it. So I want to talk about dressing discreetly, dressing in a way that is nondescript, in a way that doesn't call much attention to yourself. And I would argue that this is an offshoot of the quiet luxury conversation that has taken the internet by storm, but it's not quiet luxury in the context that all of us are used to hearing it. I think most of us, when we see those words come up on our timelines and on our feeds, it's followed by some relatively useless information that's just rooted in class oppression and how to look better than everyone and I'm insecure 101 and all the things that encompass those sorts of conversations. I'm sure, you know, if you're over here on my side of the internet, this probably comes as no surprise to you, but I'm sure you're well aware that a lot of that content is just a way to package insecurity and a desire to feel better than everyone else around you with a pretty little red bow. And we see through all that stuff over here, right? We already know what it is. We already know that it's a symptom of a bigger issue. And whatever people are talking about over there, it goes far beyond the surface. So we'll leave them and their therapists to figure that out amongst themselves. But the quiet luxury movement is incredibly interesting for a number of reasons, one of which is how I think it's relevant to the landscape of today, politically, culturally, socioeconomically, and how that affects our clothing. Because we all know that it affects our clothing a great deal, what goes on in the world. Well, the greater world doesn't know that, but us over on this side of the internet, we know that clothes are just so much more than clothes. Clothing is a form of self-expression, of course, and it will always be, but also it's body armor of a sort. It's our protective gear for how we show up in the world. I know for me, I use clothes to help me feel safe and almost kind of guarded, depending on certain situations. You know, it's the reason why I like to wear a lot of tailored menswear inspired pieces, if not menswear altogether, most of the time, because I feel like I'm more commanding and more powerful, and that my presence demands more respect, and people are more inclined to back up off me. And of course, that's because of the patriarchy, but the clothing conveys the point that I'm trying to get at in my life. And I say that just to illustrate the point that it's so much more than just a garment hanging on a rack. Clothes speak to an entire way of life. And I think in these last couple of years, our ways of life have completely morphed and they've turned into something that is so different from what it once was. And our modes of dress and the way we choose to walk out into the world has morphed as a result of those changes. Now, I can only speak for North America, United States of America, actually, to be exact. So I can't speak for anyone else, but I know for us over here, I think that there have been two big moments in modern day history that have led to where we are today, sartorially. And that is the 2016 election, where we ended up with, I don't even want to say his name on this podcast because I don't know what kind of fury that will unleash, but the really loud orange man, and also the pandemic. The Pandemi Lovato, the Ponda replay, whatever you want to call it. I've called it a number of things since it first transpired, but those two things, which happened like back to back, like it was literally back to back. We had no time to breathe. Like God was on our necks these past couple of years. And I think that it just ushered in this new wave of people just being on their worst behavior because we saw someone command the highest office in the land and be on his worst behavior literally every day. And then we saw a freak illness come through and like decimate entire communities. And we saw people behaving badly and not thinking about their fellow man and just being completely out for self. And we saw very few of them get reprimanded for that behavior. And now we have this absolutely terrible cauldron that's about to boil over of people who have forgotten how to act, who have left their manners at the door. And of course, the behavior that is felt on the inside gets exhibited on the outside sooner or later. And you may be asking yourself, okay, where are you going with this? What does this have to do with the way we get dressed? Let me illustrate. So, not to sound like we live in a utopia, because I know we don't, but if we think back to the president that we had before number 45, think about the clothing that was out around that time. This is the height of modern day logo mania, athleisure. We were all out here just like dripping in logos and designer and not being subtle. And even if it wasn't an outright logo, we saw really ornate, opulent designs like Alessandro Michele at Gucci, just really, really intricate, loud, in your face maximalism. And I think it was a reflection of the times because I didn't realize that I took it for granted, but 2016 was like the last probably really super fun year that I think collectively we all can remember. Like I see people tweet or put up memes all the time and they're like, man, summer 2016 was the last good summer. And it's crazy how many people collectively feel that way. And the clothing was a reflection, I think, of the times and how people were feeling overall on a global scale. And it was opulent. We were fun. We were partying. We were dancing in the streets. You know, more is more. Maximalism is all the rage. And we had a really stark about face and did a complete 180 when we ended up with number 45 as the president. And I just think after that day, it cast a really somber mood over so many Americans. And gradually, you notice that things aren't as colorful anymore, and people are acting way more aggressive and belligerent and doing all of these things that are a reflection of what they're watching the highest person in the land do. And of course, we led into the pandemic, and that was just the cherry on top of the cake of people on their worst behavior. And what's a reflection of that in our clothing is reflective of the very somber mood that people have had throughout all of the things that have been happening these last couple of years. And there was like a brief wave during the actual pandemic where designers were trying to be antithetical to what we were all feeling, and they were trying to liven up the mood, and some of them had, very playful, joyful collections, trying to find happiness in a very uncertain and scary time in our world. But I think that that was more of an attempt than it was a success, because the world is still in shambles. And so now, when it comes to the way we get dressed, we are dressing in a way to deter as much of that negative energy as we possibly can. So for me, for example, when I get dressed, I won't lie. There, more often than not, I am trying to dress in a way where I will have the least amount of human interaction possible for the day. I know that sounds bad. I know that sounds terrible, but humans are just not humaning the way they used to human. I'm sorry. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, ever since number 45 was the president, these folks feel like they can just say any old thing and act any old way and throw all out tantrums in the middle of Bath and Body Works. And again, everybody's on their worst behavior. And so I dress in a way that is going to deter as many of those would-be toddlers from me as I possibly can. So, in practice, what does that mean? That means a lot of muted colors, really hardly any pattern or print, nothing bold, nothing to stand out, nothing that's going to get me a lot of compliments from strangers. Because at one point in time, I used to love that. I used to love people being like, "Oh my God, cute bag, cute shoes, cute this, where'd you get that?" That was great. That didn't bother me at all. But now I'm like, no, that's a gateway into a crazy person talking to me, and I can't have that. So now my wardrobe is a reflection of what I prioritize when I live my life. And what I want now more than anything, and I think a lot of people can agree, is peace, inner and outer peace, as often as I can get it. And when I am out and about and I do see other people who have on something that's a bit flashier than I do, or louder or bolder, I observe, and I observe how much I'm not gonna say unsolicited, because maybe you're soliciting it to a degree, subconsciously, but I see how much attention is being fielded their way and how much they have to have interactions with strangers who might otherwise have paid them no attention if they had just dressed down. And that's what I want at this stage. And so I dress in a way that is a reflection of that inner and outer peace. And for me, outer peace looks like as little interaction with a stranger as humanly possible. And I think other people are feeling that as well, which is why we have this rise in quiet luxury and stealth wealth and things like that. Of course, pop culture adds to it. You have shows like Succession that have brought a lot of these brands, these kind of nondescript luxury brands, into the fold and into the cultural zeitgeist, like Loro Piana, which might not have otherwise become such a well-known brand if not for the fact that it was highlighted on that show. But I think in general, media like Succession and just what's been going on in our world, a lot of people are trying to really curate and cultivate their space and really stay away from a bunch of ridiculous situations that they don't want to be in. But of course, folks still want to look nice. They still want to put on a garment that they're proud of, that they love, that was made with the finest materials, and so on and so forth. I mean, you don't lose the desire to feel good in your clothes. If that's something that mattered to you before, it would always matter to you. I think it's just a question now of how can I feel good in my clothes and also feel protected and feel like I'm in my own little world and that nobody's going to try and invade my personal space. Because what we're seeing now is so many people quite literally invading spaces that they perceive as being luxurious and expensive and so on and so forth. For example, we see increasing numbers of robberies of luxury stores, and we see carjackings of people who have perceived money because of the car that they drive. And yes, of course, I know that carjackings happen to the average Joe and happen to anyone, whether they have a Camry or a Porsche Cayenne. But someone is definitely looking at you in that Porsche and they're making assumptions about you. And most recently, I created a TikTok stitch that is currently gaining quite a bit of attention right now, of a young lady who had three girls. She lives in the DC area, and three girls attempted to rob her for her Canada Goose winter jacket. And thankfully, nobody was harmed. She was able to get away, so neither herself nor those teenage girls were harmed. But it's just a sign of the times that we're living in and how crazy it is that somebody would attempt to rip your winter jacket off your body out in the cold outdoors. Like, we are really down bad as a society if we are ripping clothes off of people's backs. And this is not new, right? Like, we didn't just start doing this. Canada Goose has been a popular brand name for quite some time, but before that, I know, for example, 8-ball jackets, which I think is a kind of a niche apparel item. I'm not sure if people who are not black and from the inner city have heard of 8-ball jackets, but there was a time in the 90s, 80s, 90s, where 8-ball jackets, it was a leather jacket, it had like a magic 8-ball motif on the arm and some other kind of like patchwork details, but they were known as 8-ball jackets because they had that 8-ball motif. And people were being robbed and stuck up and stabbed and shot and all manner of horrible things on behalf of that jacket. Or even like myself, I can remember when I was in school, sneakers were really popular. Not like they are now. Now it's just explosive, but there were always sneakerheads and there was always a big sneaker culture where I'm from. And when new Jordans would drop, people would actually get beat up and hurt, and I'm quite sure I heard of it at least one killing where someone actually lost their life behind their Jordans that they had bought at a release, and someone took their life on behalf of those shoes. So the Canada Goose thing, getting robbed, getting hurt on behalf of the stuff you have on your body, is that new? No. But I think that with the rise of social media and with the rise of being able to all collectively talk to one another, we see what an epidemic this is in a way that we were not able to see that before when we didn't hear about the everyday Joe Schmo getting robbed for their items. Maybe that happened in your community, or maybe it happened across town to someone you know or a friend of a friend, but we didn't know that this was a nationwide problem. But now that we all have access to the same news and we are so much more interconnected than we were 20, 30, 40 years ago, we can talk amongst ourselves and we see a pattern here, which is that is it worth it to have this really obviously branded item on my person? Because even like going back to the 8-ball jackets and the Jordans and stuff like that, I know when I was growing up, in a way, those items were also a testament to how tough you were. Because if you were able to walk around in a certain neighborhood with those shoes on your feet and nobody tried to take them from you, that meant that, like, you were like a top dog. Like, people were afraid of you. You commanded respect in the street. So again, the clothes become so much more than just clothes. They become a status symbol for where you rank in these fringe communities. But I think that the folks who are willing to risk hand-to-hand combat on behalf of their shoes and their jackets are not very high in number compared to the rest of us who are just kind of scratching our heads right now and thinking to ourselves, is this item really worth all of the mental gymnastics and possibly the physical gymnastics of having to walk outside in the street with it? Do I want to fight off a pack of teenage girls behind my winter coat? I think for a good majority of us, the answer probably veers around no. Like, no, this is a jacket. At the end of the day, no matter what brand is on there, it is a utilitarian item. It has a very pragmatic function, which is to keep me warm and safe from the elements. And anything beyond that is an aspect of this coat that I didn't necessarily sign up for. And to take it back to what I was saying earlier about current events and political events and things like that, like I stated, we had someone in office who pretty much gave everyone who needed it the green light to be the worst possible person that they can be. Then you throw that in the cauldron with all of this call to action to live a luxury life and live this expensive lifestyle. And if you don't, then you're just some worker bee who's gonna die in anonymity and no one will ever care about you and you're a loser and all of this rhetoric that's getting pumped down our throats by the algorithm to ultimately get us to covet things and buy things. And then we end up with a community of people who are apathetic at best, nihilistic at worst, who also, for whatever reason, really, really want designer items to cause ruckus in the streets. Which sounds completely chaotic when you actually voice it out loud, but that's what's going on right now. We have this confluence of this really violent, ruggedly individualistic content, right smack dab in the middle of a sandwich that says, you need to be as close to the 1% as you can possibly be, and everything about you needs to embody wealth and status and high class. And if you don't do that while also being ruthlessly individualistic and not caring about collective consciousness and caring about your community, then you're trash. So, I mean, we're truly trying to just raise up a generation of people and also radicalize previous generations of people to be the worst possible iteration of human beings that we've ever had. They're devils who want to rock designer clothes. That's literally it. They're devils in a new dress. And I think after number 45 and the pandemic and everything, those of us who did not decide to listen to the devil on our shoulder and who didn't just lose every ounce of morals and values that we had, we're just incredibly burned out and tired of being around those toxic entities. Because for me, it's to the point where it's like, there's an item, I will look at an item and I will think that it's really cute, but I won't wear it or buy it or consider it because before I think about purchasing anything, I envision what it will be like to live in that item and be myself in my real day-to-day life. So, like, let's just say there's a Gucci belt for whatever reason. I don't own a Gucci belt, but let's just say I was in the market for one. I'm gonna think about, okay, what does my day-to-day life look like with this Gucci belt? It's gonna look like I'm gonna go to the office. I might go get, mocktails with a friend or an acquaintance, or I might take myself out to a solo lunch or solo dinner. I'm gonna be in line at the Walgreens. Like, I'm not an A-list celebrity. It's not like I'm going to a film festival every other day. So, like, I'm gonna be doing relatively mundane things with this Gucci belt. Who am I most likely to have to breathe air with when I'm out and about in this Gucci belt? And then I envision the type of social interactions that I'm going to have when I wear this item. And, I try to be as realistic as possible. I try to think about it in the most realistic, what is most likely to happen with this item scenarios that I possibly can. And I'll be honest, there are times where I'll think about it and I'm like, I don't think I would like the people who are going to interact with me if I wear this thing. So even though I like it, I'm not going to buy it because buying it and living with it are going to be two totally different experiences for me. Like, for example, I use this example all the time because it's still true. Travis Scott has, I don't know how many collaborations he's done with them so far, but Travis Scott has this one pair of Nikes that have a bandana print on them. And I love them, and I think that they're so cool. And I would absolutely own a pair if they were not the Travis Scott Nike collabs because I don't want to give Travis Scott fans any reason to talk to me. No offense, no offense. I like a couple of his songs as well, and I have friends and associates who are big, huge fans of his, but I can't discern which of the Travis Scott fans is going to pay attention to me. You could be a perfectly lovely person who listens to his music, or you could be one of those crazy kids that wants to go on a rager and that was jumping on top of the cop cars and the ambulances that was trying to save the people who were dying at his show in Houston, Texas. You could be one of those. And I don't want to take the risk of possibly having to breathe air with you. I'm sorry, I don't. So as much as I like those Travis Scott bandana print Nikes, I'm sure they have a name. I think they're Cactus Jacks, but don't quote me on that. But as much as I enjoy those shoes, I would not enjoy the reality of living with those shoes. And so I think collectively, a lot of us are having those in those scenarios that we make up in our minds, and we're deciding if we want to own certain items based on those scenarios. And with everything going on in the world, all of us just want to be left to our own devices. We just want to live in peace and harmony. We don't want to be bothered. And so, of course, there are those of us who are always going to want to have the quote unquote luxury item. So it will run the gamut in terms of price wise if some of us are going to be content with Eddie Bauer jackets, which at one point in time were also something that somebody would want to rob you for, believe it or not. And some of us are going to be content with a Loro Piana jacket. And the main distinction, though, either way, regardless of price point, is that we want as few people to recognize it as possible. And the folks who do recognize it are, if we had to, guess a wager, they are more likely than not going to be people that we will have a decent experience with if we do happen to cross paths, which is all you can ask for these days because, once again, everyone is on their worst behavior. So, if I can get something luxurious to put on my back and I can almost effectively guarantee that only someone who is a decent human being is going to bother me to talk to me about it, that's a win-win-win. And mind you, I'm being very generous with the term decent human being, okay? So don't come for me. And by decent, I just mean the kind of person that might notice your Loro Piana outfit in passing and be like, oh, love the stitching, and we'll just leave you the hell alone. Not someone that's gonna get two of their friends to run you down in the street and try to rip the jacket off your back. And I think it'll just be really interesting overall to see how the rich and how those of us who really want to make a distinction between us and them, I'm really interested to see how they're going to convey that going forward because we're already starting to see iterations of that happening, right? Like we have Loewe, I believe, who had the, I don't remember what season it was, but they had a collection or maybe a few collections where they made some really exquisite items that were made from leather, but they were made to look like everyday items. Like they had a pair of leather trousers that looked like denim jeans. They looked like a regular pair of Wrangler jeans that you could get from any JCPenney, and they were leather and they were Loewe and they were a stupid amount of money. So that's one example, I think, of a way in which the rich and those of us who just want to be distinct through clothing. I think that that's one great example of how they're starting to do that. Because to the average person, they're gonna look at those trousers and they're gonna just shrug and be like, okay, some jeans, big deal. But for those who know that those are the Loewe leather trousers that are meant to look like a jean, that's your in. That's your way to connect with one another. That's your way to signal, hey, you know what's going on. You and me, we are birds of a feather. You and I have that instant lock-in, that instant connection between each other, and we don't have to signal it to anyone else but the two of us. And that's very appealing for a lot of people. As for me, I'm not that deeply invested in trying to prove that I'm better than the next man, so I won't be investing in any Loewe, pony tricks today, but I definitely think that people will. As a matter of fact, I believe ASAP Rocky had on a sweatsuit that was $18,000. And I want to say it was the Wave also. It was the leather sweatsuit that was made to just look like a Jersey champion sweatsuit, but it's actually not. It's an $18,000 sweatsuit. I don't remember the brand, but I do know that it cost him 18, that well, it cost Rihanna, no shade, $18,000. And just looking at the paparazzi snap of him, you would never guess unless you knew. And I think that's going to be the name of the game in the higher timelines when it comes to fashion, aesthetics, and so on. We're really going to dig our heels into the if you know, you know. It's going to be like disgustingly niche in the higher timelines. So everybody get ready because it's coming. And on that note, I'm so happy that we got to have this powwow. I've missed you guys. Stay tuned. There is more to come, more to discuss, and follow me on everything if you aren't currently. I always love when you guys give me 5-star, and I would love a couple of nice words and a review if you can spare it. If not, that's fine. Just the 5 stars will do for me. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's cultivate this community where we have fashion talk for smart folks. That's what we're doing over here. We're having conversation about clothes that goes way beyond the surface, that allows us to treat clothing like a serious endeavor because it is. It's a lot of fun, but there's also a lot of deep thought behind the way we get dressed. And let's cultivate a space for us to talk about that. And on that note, love you lots. Have a good one. Bye.